This is Dustin Meadows.
Hi, Dustin. We are good to go.
Nice. All right. Sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Great. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished up spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Yes. So let's see. September 2021, whatever semester that would have been, I ended up having... I had twin girls born 3 weeks before I graduated, so everything's kind of a blur after that. But let's see, my major was music production, and it was an online degree.
Right, Berkeley.
Did I miss anything?
What's that?
I was just making sure I answered the whole question.
Yep, so you finished September, right, because the Berkeley Online has 4 terms per year. So So technically it's the summer term and it ends in late September.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I couldn't remember where the line fell. Thanks for filling that gap for me.
Yeah, I teach. Just curious, did you take the math class at Berkeley Online?
I did some math classes. I know there was one, but it was more of like the sound one. So I think there was an acoustics class involved.
Yep.
There was one that had to do with a lot of sound pressure level, decibels, and stuff like that. So I know I took math classes, but right now I couldn't tell you which ones I took.
Okay, yeah. I created the course that's the prerequisite for it, but some people test out of that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I floated around to 3 or 4 different colleges before I landed at Berkeley, so I had a couple transfer credits.
Gotcha. Very cool. And let's see, do you have a principal instrument at Berkeley Online? I'm not right. Brick and mortar Berkeley people always have a principal instrument. I'm not sure if Berkeley Online works the same way.
I think I was supposed to define one, but I'm pretty sure I just picked electronic instrument. My main focus going into it was electronic music composition, but I would define my primary instrument as bass.
Cool. For what it's worth, I think at Brick and Mortar Berkeley about 5 years ago, give or take, they added sort of the electronic synthesizer as an instrument, people could say.
Yeah, I'm 99% sure that's the one I defined.
Very cool. All right, so we'll get to your history later. But for now,
sure.
Tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Absolutely. So I'm currently the customer service lead in our Panama City office at Coastal Waste and Recycling, which is in the waste industry. I oversee the customer service team here locally, deal with escalations, billing issues, service issues, work with the operations team to just make sure stuff gets done and people stay happy is the short and sweet of it.
Gotcha. Can you tell us? You said Coastal Waste and Recycling. Could you give us the short version of that company?
Yeah.
That sounds like a waste management. You're in Florida, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in the I'm in Florida's armpit here in Panama City.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a waste hauling, recycling company. We do kind of do all of the things you imagine somebody that would make your stuff that you don't want anymore go away does. So we do residential trash service, residential recycling, commercial trash, commercial recycling, industrial services such as roll-off dumpsters, grapple services. We've got porta-johns in some locations, and I'm missing one, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. Basically, we make all the stuff you don't want anymore go away.
And how big a company is it? About how many employees?
I think it just hit 1,000.
Gotcha. I imagine most of them are not white-collar workers, but are people driving trucks and operating machinery and that type of thing?
Yes. I would say the primary amount of the workforce is specifically involved in the operation of making the stuff go away.
Mm-hmm.
So driving trucks, picking up trash cans, things of the sort.
Very cool. About how big is the, can I call it the office workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Panama City, we've got about 65, 70 employees.
Okay. Nice.
All right, so
About how many hours a week do you work?
I shoot, I would say anywhere between like 46 and 52.
All right, cool. Is this in person, remote, hybrid?
99% in person. Every once in a while, I get the chance to work from home, but that's usually under very specific circumstances. But the expectation is on site all the time.
Gotcha. And you're one of how many customer service people?
So there are four under me that report to me, which I suppose is a bit
Gotcha.
redundant, but you get the
No,
idea.
that's totally legit. You did say that you're the team lead, so
Yes, sir.
you manage them. And do you do customer service yourself? Like, I know sometimes the lead is like the first among equals, and sometimes they're doing all management, and the people below them are the ones interacting with customers.
So I do not as much as they do, but if the need is there for it, if there's a lot of people holding, then I'll definitely jump in and start taking calls. Not scared of doing that. Primarily, my role is to assist them in their success, but sometimes that means getting alongside them and taking calls. So just whatever that looks like. The short answer to your question is, yeah, I do their role in addition to things above their role. That's,
Sure.
yeah.
No, that makes sense. So definitely with customer service where, yeah, if people are calling and need to be answered in real time, there's going to be a fluctuation there in how many people are
Absolutely.
needed on a minute-by-minute basis. By the way, so who are the customers? Are they just residents? Are these businesses? Are they the people you're selling recycled materials to?
So yeah, fun fact about the Panama City location is we don't currently have recycling in place. It's something that we're looking to get going. We have a lot of other locations that handle recycling, but ours isn't yet. Just a pretext to say we do residential trash service. So anybody who would call and sign up for trash the same way that they'd set up their electricity or water or something like that, we'll provide that service for them. So if they need to make a payment or if they've got an issue with their service, like say they claim we miss their trash, they're calling in for stuff like that. So we deal with your typical homeowner. We also have commercial accounts for businesses, 2, 4, 6, 8 yard dumpsters, stuff like that. We deal with condos and property managers. We deal with big builders, construction people, things of the sort, because we've got roll-off dumpsters there. So trying to run through the whole gamut here. So that's kind of the bulk of it. So homeowners, property managers, business owners, and trying to think of what that specific word would be for construction people, but I'll leave it at construction people.
Contractors?
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word I was looking for.
Sure. So, hey, do you mind taking us kind of hour through hour, hour by hour, by what a typical work day of yours might look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I try to get there 15 to 30 minutes before the phones go live. Touch base with the operations team, make sure all the routes are covered, see if there's any issues that I need to know about ahead of time, such as so and so called out. This happened, that happened, claw trucks down. So anything that might create an issue on the phones, right? So first thing I'm doing, I'm showing up, I'm making a cup of coffee, gathering information, and as the team rolls in, I'm providing that to them. Phones go live around 8 a.m., so we start taking calls. About that time, I start chewing through emails, just kind of keeping a pulse on things, dealing with situations as they arise. A lot of it is putting out fires, right? So Joe Schmo calls in, pretty big account owner. So he's not quite a Joe Schmo. He's like a Mr. Joe Schmo, But, condo property manager on the beach calling to say we missed his compactor, and then we're pulling footage, seeing exactly what went wrong, stuff like that. So, a lot of fires being put out. We're touching base throughout the day. So, There's no, it's not as structured as like a at 9 a.m. this happens, at 10 a.m. this happens, at 11 a.m. this happens, so on and so forth. But so let me back up here. So start off, touch base with operations, and then just kind of ensuring that things go on as the day progresses, making sure that like as situations rise, I'm dealing with those. And that's, unfortunately, that's kind of the whole story. There's nothing too much more exciting than that. I end up in meetings every once in a while, and that's kind of fun. But for the most part, I'm just making sure that people who have problems don't continue to have that problem now and in the future, and then trying to build solutions for current problems that keep arising to prevent them from being a thing in the future as well.
Sure. So by the way, as the team lead, are you the person where when there's a really tough issue, they throw it to you?
Yes, yeah, I'm the last line of defense for the local office on the customer service side. So at all escalation, I'm taking every single escalation call and preventing it from going any further than that. And that's on the service side, that's on the billing side, that's like from all aspects of the operation. Anything that the team can't handle goes to me to deal with. So a lot of the day, I try to stay as available as possible to make sure that they have what they need to succeed and that operations can work with me should a driver report, like, hey, this guy, we couldn't service his trash can because he had a party last night and nobody moved their cars, you know? So then we're calling that customer and be like, hey, we were there at 6:56. Your trash can was blocked. We'll get it the next day, right? So it's a lot of staying available to deal with those escalations as they come.
Gotcha. And one of the criteria you have to hit to participate in these interviews is that you enjoy what you do. So what is it about, let's say, customer service that you enjoy?
So the aspect of just being able to solve a problem is fascinating in a way that I can't fully understand. And the customer service side is great, but the actual trash industry is completely, and it's so interesting to me. Like it's fascinating the amount of pieces that go into it, right? Because you've got routes that need to be built, you've got there's so many different facets of the operation, and for whatever reason that I can't fully articulate, I just find the entire industry absolutely fascinating.
Very cool. All right,
Yeah.
go on.
I was just gonna say there's so many things about it. Like the first day I started there, I was expecting this to be an operation of like 10 people. I had no perspective on the industry at all, right? And I know we'll get into this a little bit later, but I kind of just took the job because I needed something at first.
Sure.
So I showed up and I meet this guy named Andrew, and he's like, just like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm a welder. And then at that point, I was just like, okay, there's a lot more going on here than I would have originally expected. And that's just kind of like the metaphor I use when talking about the job, because like there are so many different aspects of it that all have to work together in order for the operation to succeed. And I love the dance of it all, right? So it's like making sure that containers are being delivered on time so that sales can meet their goals, right? There are all these moving pieces that all have to be working together synonymously, and I find it invigorating when every single piece is firing on all cylinders in sync with each other, for lack of a better phrase.
Very cool. So, hey, we're gonna take it now. I could say we'll take it back to 2021, although if you feel this story has a logical earlier starting point, we can go back earlier than 2021. Because sounds like you weren't initially planning on working in the waste disposal industry or
Nope,
necessarily
not
doing
at all.
customer service. So, like, put us in your headspace then as things were wrapping up with Berkeley, and we'll take it from there to what you're doing now, both like what you were doing for work, but also kind of where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So I, through my whole education, was expecting to finish my degree and then begin to pursue a music career after that. That was the goal, and that was the goal all the way up until graduation. And it's still, if that still happens one day, that would be really cool. But I've found a really good thing here. Anyways, we'll get to that in just a moment. So, two, and I think I already said this, 2 or 3 weeks before the semester ended, my wife and I had our first kids. I say kids because we had twins. They're born September 5th. I think the semester wrapped up on the 21st. So that created just a lot of changes about like how I was thinking about life, processing information. I couldn't take like, kids show up, you can't take as many risks, right? So that's cool and all. So like I'm still planning on a music career at this point, at some point, but it's become less of a right now and more of just a one day, right? A more long-term 5, 10 year plan maybe for, and I'm just kind of throwing out numbers, but just for
Sure.
perspective sake. So that happens. My current job's drying up, so I just need a new job, right? It's something. And I'm scouring Indeed, trying to find something that I don't feel like will rip my soul out of my body. And my wife keeps throwing this phone job at me, and I keep saying no because it's the exact thing that I've been avoiding for my entire life, an office job. My whole life, I've been like, I'm never going to be an office guy sitting in a chair, looking at a computer all day, just answering phones and being another corporate number, blah, blah, blah. And it's never my vision. I want to be a rock star, right? And I think we all do. So eventually, the pay is good, right? They're paying me $3 an hour more than my current job's paying me with significantly less responsibilities. So before this, I was the office administrator for a local church here. So I was doing accounts receivable, accounts payable, bookkeeping, all kinds of stuff. I was also the secretary. So it was really a lot going on, pretty demanding job. And
You're doing
that's
that
one
while
thing.
you're doing Berkeley Online.
Yeah. So I had a full-time job while doing the online program. So it would be, I'd work all day and then do, work till like pretty much till I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore, and then go to sleep and do it all over again.
Wow, hats off to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It was I'll tell you what, and I know we'll get to this in just a moment, but like the fact that Berkeley's online program is so like gripping and exciting and hands-on, like really made me ride the whole thing out. But let's
That's
see.
great. Can
So
I
anyways,
ask what year did you graduate high school?
yeah, 2010. So it took me a little while to finally kind of settle down. I graduated from high school, making bad choices, continued to make bad choices for a while, started getting it together around, let's see, 2013, went to general college, dropped out, went to a different music college, dropped out, eventually got my associates in 2018, and then I'd been talking about music for so long. My wife was like, you just need to get a music degree. If you're going to do it, then you need to do it right. So I was like, okay, cool. So we shopped around and then ended up landing at Berkeley. And I was like, this is pretty dope. I like what they got going on here.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely.
yeah, so then you said you were, all right, so taking it back to, it's like the fall of 2021, congratulations, you're a dad of twins, and you need a job. And it sounds like
Yeah,
this,
exactly.
the administrative job at the church you said was kind of drying up.
Yeah, it was like a mutual parting of ways. It
Right.
was like, we just both kind of agreed. I don't know. There's a lot to it. But yeah, so I needed a job, and this one was paying pretty well to do not a whole lot. And that's one thing I will say, like, before we move on, there's so much money to be made in the waste industry. It's crazy. Super, super highly lucrative. Anyways, yeah, so I needed a job and they hired me. So cool, this would be great.
And you had
So
like no
started.
special connection there, just you applied, you got the job.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's exactly the story. I applied there, they hired me on. They were willing to wait for me to get the job, or willing for me to wait until the job at the church ended, which was at the end of the year. So I ended the job at the church December 30th and then started here January 3rd of 2022. So I'm getting close to 2 years.
And was you doing the same thing you're doing now, and were you hired into the team lead or at the sort of basic customer service?
Just started at basic customer service. So I've been kind of like on a – it's been a roller coaster of a career in the last 2 years, right? So I started taking phone calls, and I was just like, this is awesome. I don't know what about it. I didn't know what about it at the time was awesome, but I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the – exactly what I told you before. Like, there was just – there was room to grow. There was stuff to do. There were things to optimize. There was just opportunity. And the opportunity was like presented in a format, and the job itself was just like fun. There was just so many problems to solve is really what it came to the end of the day. Cause like a route can always be done better. A system can always be done more effectively. Right. So, there's just always things you can do better. And like, I got in the job and I just started seeing gaps in systems, right? Even if it was something as simple as like a customer having to email us pictures for a grapple pickup, I'm like, okay, well, we could probably do that in a more efficient fashion. And they'd be like, well, what's the solution? They're like, I don't know. So I'd start looking into it, right? I just took an interest in the job and started exploring. So started as customer service. About 3 or 4 months in, I got a promotion to what is called the sales coordinator. Essentially, I was the point of contact for all of our commercial and industrial customers. So the people that own businesses, the property managers, the contractors, all those guys, I was their direct point of contact for anything they needed, billing, service, all that good stuff. I was also responsible for data entry. So anytime a sales rep would sell a new account, I'd be putting it into the system, coordinating with the operation side to make sure that the dumpster got delivered when it was supposed to be there, where it was going, mm-hmm. making sure their account, like all of, so basically just making sure that everything happened on the commercial industrial side, yeah. when it needed to, where it needed to, and whatever. Yeah. So I did that for quite a while. Got a few side opportunities along the way, a couple bonus gigs. So there was a hurricane in Fort Myers in 2022, which was pretty bad, and it was very unfortunate. But I got the opportunity of being the point of contact for our industrial work while that area was sort of rebuilding itself. So it was my first opportunity to step out of the local office and start working on a more corporate level, which was really cool. So, and then there were all these other little opportunities popping up like that they just kept asking me to do. They just kept throwing more stuff at me, and I was just like, sure, this is great, sounds fun, let's keep doing it. And then am I going too far right now? Have
the
question?
Great.
Okay, cool, I'll just keep going then. So then that happens, they start asking me like, okay, what about like, what does your future with Coastal look like? I'm like, I'm trying to ride this wave, man, let's do it. And so they offer me a new gig for a department that doesn't currently exist. I would essentially be the guy starting the job or starting the department and building it from scratch, working with some movers and shakers in the company. I was like, yeah, this would be pretty cool. The day we got the offer letter, my wife and I got in a car accident, set us back a couple of months, kind of got to work in the department from Panama City for a while. But it didn't really make sense to be working in the South Florida operation from a remote perspective because I was the only one working from a remote perspective. So like, why don't you just be the and then there were a lot of other conversations that happened a lot of the way, a lot of potential opportunities that ended up not working out. So it's been a really exciting ride. I've had a lot of different opportunities in the last 2 years, and I've learned a crud ton. Anyway, so they were like, hey, so what about customer service in Panama City? I was like, cool. It's the division I started in. So let's do it. So I kind of came full circle to the point that I'm at now. Sorry, I know I just kind of rambled for a really long time.
No,
there was something useful in there.
Totally cool. And you said, you're currently customer service team lead, which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because like I started here, and then kind of worked my way around and then ended up back here again, which was fun. So and I'm not sure, I don't want to over answer the question continuously, but like I've gotten a lot of opportunities here to really optimize a lot of our processes. So we've been kind of doing a lot by paper, and I've had the opportunity to turn a lot of that stuff into apps and just build like automated solutions and user interfaces that make more sense than like writing stuff down on paper. Created some like really nice trackable metrics. It's been a lot of fun. I've had an opportunity to like really optimize the business workflow of our customer service office, which been opening opportunities for me to be a part of more exciting conversations on like a company-wide scale. So it's been
Oh,
cool.
that's exciting. So more than just a customer service team lead, but that's
Yeah,
rather.
this is like my main role, but I'm also getting to at least be a part of conversations that are happening on like a bigger, more company-wide level. And it's because of the effort that I'm putting in to make this office as efficient as possible that I'm getting to do that. So, and I'm, it just kind of like is what it is. I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but
No, that's
it's
great,
just
man.
been very, yeah, it's been cool. It's been a really cool.
All right, so all right, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. And I'm going to preface the next question by saying that there's no right or wrong answer, which is these days, let's call it the second half of 2023.
Sure.
What, if anything, has been your current relationship with music?
I get the opportunity to play in my church every once in a while, which is great. There's a lot of demand from my family, so I haven't been able to do that too much. Just the kids are kids are kids, man. We all know how it goes. So that's been good. I haven't been doing too much, but I've recently started writing and producing music again. Nothing polished or finished, but recreationally, as an outlet, it's been active in my life.
Gotcha. Is the church a paid gig or?
No, it's just strictly volunteer,
Gotcha.
but which is fine with me. It's
Yeah.
something I don't, yeah, I definitely don't mind not getting paid for. I enjoy it.
Oh, it's good. It's a great way you can serve your community.
Exactly.
So cool. All right. Next question I have for you is, again, thinking about your current career in the customer service, et cetera, and waste disposal industry, obviously a Berkeley degree is a college degree, but beyond the fact that it's a college degree, is there anything you feel your education experience at Berkeley did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a question I was really excited about answering. I would say yes and absolutely. The biggest takeaway from Berkeley is that like there was no just like A, B, C, D tests. It was all problem solving. It was here's a problem. How are you going to solve it? You had to critical think in like 99, except for in math, there's generally one right answer, but like how you get there, that's the beauty of it all. Like, how do you get to the answer? And that's what I feel like Berkeley taught me the most was like getting to the answer is important, but it's just as important to define that path and to figure out like what's the meat and potatoes that got you there? Because like knowing that meat and potatoes like might enable you to see it from a completely different perspective, right? So like I know how to solve this problem. I don't just know what the answer is to it. I know how to solve the problem. And that is translated so well into my current experience or my current like work atmosphere, for lack of a better phrase. And then it's not just if this, then that. It's here's the problem. How are you going to solve it? Right. So like at Berkeley, it was my favorite class that I took there was electronic, let's see, what was it called? Composing and producing electronic music 1 and 2. Professor's name was Loudon Stearns. I could not say enough good stuff about the guy. He's absolutely excellent instructor. His whole class was here's a genre, write a song inspired by that genre. You don't have to do it a specific way. You don't need to include this. You don't need to include that. I want you to make a thing, and I'm not going to tell you how to get there. And that was the most exciting, one of the most exciting classes, because there was certainly some other ones, but just that it was so open-ended in its approach. It was like, here's your goal. Now, how are you going to get there? Right? Because as everybody knows, there's an infinite number of ways to reach the end of a song, right? There's how are you going to, and then going back, like, taking another step back too, is like using a digital audio workstation. Within that, there is so many different ways that you can route a sound from point A to point Z, right? So it's like you've got, and this is some, this, I promise so this all makes sense in the end, but it's like, I just like music and problem solving was so linear to me before Berkeley, but like seeing that, like, you don't have to put all of your drums on one track. You can have all of your drums as stems. You can have 9 different drum tracks all routed to a drum mix track, which is also being sent to reverb, which is also being sent to parallel compression, which is at that point all summed together and then sent to a pre-master and then sent to the master after that. Like, that to me is a metaphor. It's like the metaphor of what I learned at Berkeley. It's like there's no perfect or absolute way to get to a solution, but finding the best, like finding the way that works for you in the moment to get the solution that you want. That's what I got from Berkeley, was like, in the moment, in this specific scenario, what do you need to do to get the best result?
Gotcha.
And
gotcha. Yeah.
Did that make sense at all?
yes, it made perfect sense. And while you articulated that in great detail, which was great, I will say that you're not the first person who has said something like that.
Excellent. And I would completely reinforce that 1,000 times over. Was like, there was so much, like, what I couldn't stand about higher education up to Berkeley was it was so testy. It was so like, okay, because like I took some music production classes at other colleges, and it was vocabulary, right? It was vocabulary. It was just memorizing information, but there's nothing hands-on about it. There's nothing problem-solving about it. Berkeley, every single class I took was problem-solving.
Gotcha.
What's your solution? What does it look like to get to the end result? And defining, anyways, yeah, I'm beating a dead horse at this point, but it was that I could not say it enough times. Like, that was by far the best lesson that I got out of Berkeley.
That's terrific. So hey, let's turn this question around now, because
sure.
You know, Berkeley, like, is that degree? Is, I think it's a bachelor's of music degree. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a Bachelor of Professional Studies.
Professional Studies.
I think it's what,
okay.
I got. Yeah.
Yeah. So, point is, you went there knowing that it's a music degree, and then you went into this job. It sounds like, you know, you're doing quite well for yourself and feel that the education was very helpful in your job. So far, so good. But all that said, when you think back to your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was taking classes, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Anything missing or incomplete?
I'm chewing on that right now. There's nothing that immediately screams at me, like, this, that. The live classes are a very helpful piece to kind of bring the whole thing together. That would have been the only critique that I had, is if it was not there, was just the inability to have that interaction. But the fact that they have those live classes there, I think, really solves a lot of the potential gaps, at least in the online space. No, I mean, I was so impressed by how much it felt. Because here's the thing, like, a lot of online classes feel cheesy. They feel like they're just there because they can be, but that was not the Berkeley experience at all. Like I felt like I was getting an actual college education. So to answer your question, I can't think of anything that could have been done better. I really liked the experience.
That's wonderful to hear. It's a minority of people who I just checked the another SaaS customer box, but you're one of them. That's awesome.
One of the minority of the what? Sorry about that.
Oh, a majority of people have something that they wish would be different, but one person in seven is like, no, all good, man. And like, okay, cool.
No, I really do feel that way. Like it was a very exceptional experience.
Awesome. So, all right. Next question I have for you is, right, you kind of went straight from your Berkeley degree into your current career. Obviously, having a couple of young children was a good incentive to get something going really quickly. But let's say, you know, not everyone has gotten onto a good career path right away after graduating, and, you know, many other people still are at Berkeley and not quite sure what's going to be happening afterward. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Start somewhere would be the probably the cheapest but best piece of advice that I could offer. Is like there are so many different options that we have at like immediately at our disposal, right? And especially in 2023, right? Like you pull up Indeed and there's 4,000 jobs that you could do right now. And you could apply for all 4,000 of them at the click of like 5 buttons, right? Start somewhere. Pick something that looks good enough. Try it. And if it doesn't work, try something else. Like don't be afraid to fail forward. Even if it doesn't work out, you're going to learn something and you're going to narrow your next result, right? So like if you have absolutely no idea what to do next, just pick something, because if that something doesn't work out, then the next choice you make is going to be filtered by that last choice. So eventually you're going to get to where you're going. And I'm speaking from experience here. I've tried like 4,000 different things and all of them didn't work out. But what it did was I tried a YouTube channel. I've just tried all kinds of dumb stuff and none of it worked out. And what was great about that is I tried it, right? And now I can say like that wasn't for me. So it's not this floating possibility anymore. Eliminate those floating possibilities. And you can only do that by doing stuff. So just do something.
All right. That's great. And to zoom in here, again, you're something around my 235th interview, plus or minus one or two. Not everyone, no one's listening to all 235.
Completely.
Anyone who's made it this far is someone who's maybe noticed your career, customer service team lead, waste management, hadn't really thought of that one before. And seeing like, okay, what's this all about? So for someone who's interested either in working customer service or, for that matter, is thinking about the waste management industry as something with potential, what specific advice do you have for them?
Let me think about that. I will say, depending on – I guess it depends on the degree, because I think what has really catered to my joy in this particular job is that my main goal was to essentially create the most efficient audio workflow as I possibly could. And what I get to do now is very synonymous to that. So if you enjoy, let me think, what was the original question? I'm just going to say it. If you enjoy problem solving and finding abstract ways to get to the finish line, then this would be a really good career path for you. What's beautiful about customer service is there's a lot of room for growth. It's a lot of the times it can be very stat heavy, but I don't know, there's something beautiful about stats. And I don't even know. What was the original question? Have I answered it?
Oh, just like sort of interested in kind of getting into the industry, or getting into customer service as a career. Do you have any specific advice for them?
Gotcha. I don't be afraid to start at the bottom because the good talent, don't be afraid to start at the bottom and then do your best because the good talent rises to the top rather quickly in a sea of mediocrity. People who want to try stand out like a sore thumb. So try would be like get on. It's not hard to get in the door at the bottom. But the
Gotcha.
more, yeah, and then just try because you will stick out and you will be noticed.
That's great. Well, hey, Dustin, I just have one last question for you, which
Absolutely.
is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so. I want to say like I just really appreciate the opportunity to do this interview first and foremost. I thought this was a really cool concept that you guys are doing here. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for doing it. Thanks for putting together online education that doesn't feel fake or cheap or boring or pointless. It's so valuable. Like what you guys have put together in your online courses has been it's a really excellently done, fantastic product. I couldn't speak highly enough of it. If like people that ask me like, would you recommend this? I'm like, absolutely. It's a killer, killer, killer education.
That's
That's
wonderful to
about
hear.
it. Like, yeah, just thanks for what you guys have done and continue to do. I know I was probably supposed to speak to the person listening, but it was just a really good experience for me, and I wanted somebody to know that.
All right, well, that's great. Well, thank you, Dustin. It's been really interesting hearing about your career as well as your experience Berkeley Online and how you feel about that. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun, and I hope that this will be valuable to somebody at some point.
Sure will be. All right, have a great evening now.
Hey, you too. Thanks for calling.